Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address nsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
Our Father, tonight we thank you for all that you have led us through since morning. We give you all the honor and praise for the experiences you have been bringing us into. We thank you for speaking into our situation at every point. We give you honor for our Bible study. We thank you for that which you taught us about the corpus altar. We exhort you, O God, even for the prayer opera for our children, the children of families. Lord, we thank you for the seminar where you address us, looking at the help that you are making us to be, and the help that you are making for us in our wives. Lord, we thank you for the corpus discussion, veritable testimonies that you have allowed us to touch again out of lives of brothers and sisters who have followed this principle for these several years. Lord, we want to stand in your presence tonight as we are drawing this day unto a close. That Father, speak to us again. We ask that your word that have been coming to us will keep finding space, will keep mixing with faith in our hearts, that every segment of the issues that you are intending to show us for our matrimony to become effective and profitable, Lord, we are praying, hide nothing from us. Speak to us with simplicity, speak to us with clarity, and speak to us in a way we can understand. Thank you. Thank you, God, that we are not going to become dull of hearing. Our ears will not be the itching ears. We will hear you and obey you. When we are concluding the song that we sang, say, trust and obey. Whatsoever He says to you, do it. Lord, several issues you have been raising, give us opportunity to respond to you, so that in years to come, several of us again will be leading several couples into their own rest. We'll be guiding others into what you have done in our lives. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. The response of a right husband. Or maybe I should say the right response. The right response of a husband in order to set your family on course. The right, relevant, correct response for a husband to set his family on course. Yesterday, Brother Tewase began to show us, as the Holy Spirit was leading, according to scripture, that in Genesis chapter 3, even after the fall, God said to the woman, even though in sorrow you are going to conceive and bring forth children, yet your affection shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. And he took us to the book of Esther and noted a decree that was meant to be circulated all over the world in all languages, that every man should bear the rule over his own house. And we went further to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where we were looking at that great organogram. And even tonight, Sister Shade again refers to it and said, God's order. He said the head of the woman, the head of the wife is the husband. And the head of every man is Christ. And the head of Christ is God. That was how God wanted it to be. So this night I will begin because that response I want to deal with tonight will not finish, because it has several applications. But we would like to begin it, because the more we understand that if the head refuses to be our head, there will be confusion everywhere. If the head does not give the correct response, what will happen is that the capacity and the potential of a woman will be wasted. And having listened to a very clear instruction to the woman that you are a helper, and that if you did not serve God as a helper, equipped and prepared for Him, you have only wasted life and wasted the grace of God. As I sat down listening to those very, very heavy words, and I know that the reason why many women are finding difficult to respond to this truth is because the men to whom they were going to pour all their grace, all their strength, all their capacity, all their potential, have not given space, and they have not given right responses. But as the Lord was going to be leading us tonight, I want to be looking at the right response of a husband in order to set his marriage on course. I decided to call it response rather than call it responsibility. But you know that there is no responsibility until you respond. If you actually know that the word responsibility is only it came from response. Praise the Lord. If they say somebody is responsible, they are simply saying it's a person that brings right response to situation when demands come. If they look at someone and say he is not responsible, the only thing they are saying is that when we needed him to respond to a situation, he did nothing. I don't know whether you follow me. I'm not in an English class, but the English specialists, they will be helping me later on to correct whatever mistake I'm making on this matter. But I know that a responsible man is a man that gives correct response to situation. An irresponsible man is a man who does not respond when he is expected to do so. But I don't want to talk about responsibility of a husband tonight. I only want to talk about the right response. Because I don't want to be talking of responsibility. I want to talk about what you will do. I want to talk about your response. What is the right response of a husband to set his marriage on course? You will go back with me to the same text. You know that this text is so rich that no matter how we have been digging into it, it looks inexhaustible. And it's not that we are twisting the scripture. We are simply allowing it to unfold before our eyes. And I told you that that thing that you saw in Genesis, it gives to us the original principles that every other thing you want to do, as far as marriage is concerned, you have to return to it, because it is the worthy standard that God has set. That's why we are digging it. That's why we are seeking to understand it. And that's why we are praying that God will give us insight and revelation into how to respond to the word of God tonight. Are you there with me? Genesis chapter 2. We have been reading verse 18. But now we are going to read verse 23, verse 24, and verse 25. Verse 23, 24, and 25. When I'm ready to illustrate it, we might take some other parts of scriptures that will help us illustrate what we are talking about. Praise the Lord. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed." May the Lord bless his word again in our midst tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, we began to look at what God said and what God committed himself to do, and how God engaged his capacity to make a help for the man. And we noted how God brought her unto the man. But now we are looking at what is the man's correct response. And the little grammar I tried to do was to say to you that there is no responsibility without response. If they say you are responsible, it's because you have responded. If they say a man is irresponsible, that means when he's supposed to respond, he did nothing. So tonight I'm dealing with, what response must you as a husband bring forth in order to set your marriage on course, in order to release your marriage and release your wife and bring them to what they ought to become? I'm praying that God in his mercy will allow us to have clear utterance about this even now. And Adam said, I want you to first note that. And Adam did what? Said. May I say to you that every husband has the responsibility of speaking and uttering correct words that gives direction, that gives definition, that gives focus in every marital relationship. For your marriage to be on course, it is your responsibility to speak clearly. Several husbands mistakenly think, and for most of us, we always think and say, I thought you should have known. I thought I told you. And many, many times your wife is saying, no, you didn't say it. I didn't know when you said it. The reason is because whereas for the man, words may never mean much. Words may just mean just an expression of an idea. But for your wife to have direction in life, your words are weighty. Your words are defining. The words of a husband is what gives definition to the wife. It is what gives focus to the wife. It is what gives rest to the wife. Your words, they are treasure to your wives. This is why, whereas men may never put so much value on words, your wife is different. If, again, like I've always made experiment, if I were to make an experiment here tonight, you will discover it. Maybe we can do it. I want wives to please help me out here because we are dealing with an issue that is important. The letter that your husband wrote to you when you were courting, one letter that he wrote to you when you were courting, when he was still coming around and scratching the wall. Sister, where is that letter now? Somebody should please stand up and tell me. I need a sister to tell me. Where are you? Eh? They are under your bed up till now. Hallelujah. How long ago did he write that letter? Eh? 1998, 20 solid years ago, the letter is under her bed. Hallelujah. I'm coming. Who else want to remind us or help me? Yes, Auntie.
My marriage will be 45 in August.
Your marriage?
45 years in August.
45 years in August.
Talking about 45 years later now. And that time is the card they normally send. This card, they will have a beautiful picture. picture in front and the back is plain, whereby your man will write something sweet at the back and post it through the post office. It will get to you. It's still in my box today.
It's here. Hallelujah. 45 years ago, the card you sent is in the box. When you have to put it in the post, that postcard with beautiful photo in front but plain at the back, and you write, I would not worry you to tell me exactly what he wrote that time, but I know I know you are keeping it. Yes, another one here. Please come and give the microphone to another sister here, because I want you to understand something that is very important.
2 weeks ago, my marriage was 30 years.
2 weeks ago, your marriage was 30 years.
But I have a letter of 34 years.
A letter of 34 years.
Years ago. Anytime I want to make fun in the home, and my husband is not saying, "Yours lovely, my very dear," I will fetch the letter and bring it out and start reading.
And say?
Yes. And the children will laugh. He said, "My very dear Otini." And he's not saying that again.
Yes, you are not saying it again.
Yes.
Where is Mr.? Where is Ateji? Ateji, stand up now.
Ask him, is that?
Stand up now, stand up now.
Come out and tell them. He's not saying it regularly again.
Hallelujah. Are you with me? You see, what we are talking about is that for women, the words you say matters a lot. If I were to ask a brother here, can you remember brother, please tell the truth now. Tell the truth. The letters that they wrote, where is it now? Where is it? He can't even remember that there was a letter like that. What we are noting is that whereas for a man, he can just speak and he will forget what he said. The reason is because words don't carry the same value in a man's heart as it does with a woman. And you may not know that the words that you speak is a bond. It's your responsibility. And your wife captures it and keeps it. Sometimes she opens those old archives and we read, just like Sister Otini just read to us now, and say, "Dear friendly, lovely Otini, I don't know how I could have felt if I didn't meet you. You are the only hope that releases me. Just to tell you, I can't do without you." Signed. And the wife, for 34 years, has kept it. For 45 years, she has kept that card. For 20 years, it was under the bed. But what you didn't even know is that they did not only keep it under the bed, or keep it in the box, or keep it. It has lodged somewhere in their heart. And every time you came back to say something that is not congruent with what you said before. You used to be surprised that your wife would say, that is not what you said before. Sometimes you are surprised that your wife will say, this is not how you used to speak. And I hear you say, how do I used to speak? How do I used to speak? Don't close my mouth. No, 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 no. She's referring to an archives, a treasure. And that same treasure sometimes is a trash. But whether you say something that is good or you say something that is bad, it has the same effect. It only takes God to help a woman to destroy the trash. Otherwise, it remains there. So when the Bible begins to speak to a husband and say, husbands, do not be harsh with your wives. God was speaking about something that is very critical. It is because the woman's heart and the woman's life is governed by what she hears, by the words that you speak. Some of you think that what a woman treasures most is the money or is the clothes. No! If you give your wife a cloth and your word that preceded it was a bad word, she will never wear that cloth. Because every time she wants to wear the cloth, the first thing that will come back to her is what you said. So my first focus tonight is to deal with the correct response in what you say to set your marriage on course. And Abraham did what? Said. You will notice that as we were going to be looking at scripture, it was what Adam said. We seem not to have heard anything that the woman said in that chapter. And if you will take responsibility for speaking rightly, for speaking defining words, which I want to analyze quickly now, for speaking accurately, so much will be released in your marriage. But do you know that the power of life and of death, the Bible says, where? It's in the tongue. Many, many brothers, by the words of their mouth, they have crippled their marriage. By the words of their mouth, they have slashed what God was putting together for their lives. And they are wondering, why am I not getting the best? And Adam said, so I first want you to know that it is your responsibility to speak. And not to speak carelessly, but to speak words that edifies. To speak words that ministers grace to your wife. The words that comes out of your mouth means much more than million to your wife. When she has finished dressing, you may think that she's just dressing and dressing to go out. No, 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 no. She needs to hear a word from you. But unfortunately, several brothers, they seem not to have eyes to see anything beautiful. Or even if they see, they are very stingy with correct words. To simply say, that is very nice. You look cute. That releases something in your wife. But since you said nothing, he said, are you ready? Let's go. You may not know that that little thing you have said has done something, has scattered that woman. Say, with all that I dressed, it didn't even see it. How terrible it is that it is only when you get to church that another fellow, another person, not you, he say, oh, madam, you look gorgeous. And when you saw her smiling and say, thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much, sir. You are wondering. Because you are a man whose mouth damages. Sometimes your silence is as killing. Do you know that when your wife has finished making her hair, are you hearing me? She is rushing to come home. And at that time, she will remove the hair tie. What, sister, what are you waiting for? Talk to me so that they can hear. You are waiting for him to say something. But this man is too busy. He's looking into the computer. He's reading. He may even be reading Bible. And the wife said, this man has no eye to see. So at some time, you know your wife, when she cannot keep quiet, he said, you didn't even comment about my hairdo. I said, and so what? And so what? Is this the first time you are making hair? Imagine such a damaging word. You might think it is spirituality and that you are protecting holiness. No, you are a damager. Yes. You see, it is because you need a response to set your wife on, to release her potential, to increase her confidence. A wife is not confident until she hears a word. A wife requires an affirmation for her to be sure. God ordained it like that. It is not a weakness, but a manufacturer's design. And we've got to understand the biblical basis in order for our marriages to run on course. The reason why you hear Many, many wives, their cry is not for hunger. Their cry is for communication. The wife is longing to hear you speak into her life, into what she's doing. She may be highly educated, she may have PhD, but that does not remove that need in her life. You may think because your wife is a permanent secretary in the office that she does not need that affirmation. You made a mistake. And the reason why so many young girls fall into the wrong hand of charlatan is simply those who knew how to play with words. I love you. You are precious. Even though they didn't mean it, but it's like a magic. The way it will make your daughter restless. If you see girls developing in your house, you will see the difference between the girl and the boy. You will see the girl coming over and over again and say, "Daddy, do you like my dress?" The boy will not say that. The boy will wear his dress and go and play football. But the small girl is waiting for affirmation and confirmation. It's the manufacturer's design. And Adam did what? Said. So let me ask you, what are you saying? What do you say day by day to your wife? Or do you wake up and forgot to say something? Did you just walk out and you have said nothing? Or when we're expecting you to speak, you just decided to say something that has no relevance? And Adam said, that is very critical. But now let me go to what did he say? Can we check what he said? Do we think we should go to what he said? And Adam said, "This is now." I want you to see three important words there. This. What's the meaning of the word this? Eh? This one. This precisely. This particular one. This singular one. This. And do you know that there is never a time you want to use the word this? Are you hearing me? And your hand, your finger, almost without thinking, your finger does what? Comes out and points at something you can touch. Am I right? If you want to say, "This is mine," how do you do it? How do you do it? You are putting your hand on it. What is the difference between this and that? Eh? You see, the one that is, you say that far, inaccessible, is that. But you can never say this without putting your finger on what you are talking about. When he said this, this is my bones. I can just see his hand on the shoulder of Mary. I mean, of the wife. I can see how he put his finger and said, this. Can I find out from sisters, how do you feel, honestly, when your husband, in the midst of people, stood up and bring out his hand and place it on your neck and say, this is my wife. Talk to me. How do you feel? Sister, don't hide your feeling now. Tell me, how do you feel? Now tell me how you feel when your husband stands up in the church or in a meeting or in the public and he stood up and he said, praise the Lord. We thank God for everyone body that is here. God is good. Hallelujah. I thank God for the way the word of God has been moving and people had to come. When they greeted him, shook him finish, they even forgot that you came with him. Are you understanding? And it is after a long time, somebody said, excuse me, is that madam? Is that madam? Oh yes, that's madam, that's madam. How do you feel, dear sister? Please talk to me. I want your husband to hear. If you don't talk to me now, your husband will think you don't know. How do you feel? You feel bad. You feel neglected. You feel ignored. You feel as unimportant and irrelevant. Baba, that's what you have been doing. That's how damaging it is. So your wife doesn't know, where do I belong? To whom am I? This man has done everything and I can't see him say, this is my wife. And you know how terrible it is for you to be your wife that will have to be struggling to say, excuse me, sister, if you don't know, I am his wife. I hope you know it's terrible. When a woman, a wife, has to do that, it means she has become agitated. It means that jealousy is rising inside of her. Say, the way this girl is sitting here, as if this man has no wife, let me just go there now and show my face. I know sometimes husbands, you don't like it when your wife just walks in and it's not that you want to say anything, no. You just want to interrupt what you are doing and walk about. And then when she finished, you say, darling, when are you coming home? You know she's saying something. If you are not responsible enough to let this girl that is sitting before you know that this is the bone of your bones, I better go and tell them before they think nobody was around. Many wives are restless because you are stingy. I'm not saying you are stingy with money. You are stingy with words. The greatest trouble that many people have had that made their marriages never to balance for a long time is their stinginess with words. It is only when light is out in the dark bedroom. Then he will come in like a rat. And then he will be stretching hands, you know, like that. Hey, you know, I love you, I love you. What does that mean? What does that mean? Talk to me now, brother. What does that mean in the dark? What does it mean when nobody is hearing? What kind of I love you is that? A woman you deny it in the public. You forgot her in the crowd. You only came home and said, that's why you see, your wife just removed that rat hand and just straightened it. And then you say, this woman is difficult. She is not. My God, am I in trouble tonight? Should I continue this message? And the man said, this is public identification, particular identification, peculiar identification. I said public, particular, peculiar identification. It releases your wife and sets your marriage on course. It defines your marriage and it makes no one to take it for granted. It lifts it above every controversy. And it immediately insulates it from interruption. So when the man opened his mouth and said, this is a singular identification. A focused identification. This is. You can't say this is without your finger on her. What it means that she's been singled out of the crowd. I'm happy that we have insisted that you must sit with your wife, tall or short. I hope you will continue this when you go home. Eh? I hope everywhere you are going, when you want to sit down, you are putting your hand and said, we are sitting. You put your hand and say, this is my wife. She has to sit here before I sit. Then they will start knowing that we can't find one seat for this man. We must find two seats because he is going to come with his wife. I said, focus. This is. If you will not focus on the help that God has given you, how do you want to maximize it? If you will behave as if she's just one woman among many women, how will she know how relevant, how useful, how indispensable she is in your life? Those of you that I know, you are preachers. I see how you are eagerly identify with people outside. Some these prayer warrior sisters. He said, well, you know, she prays so much. In fact, she's the pillar of my ministry. You're a liar. That woman is not a pillar, she's a dungeon. If God does not turn your eyes from her, she will finish you. She will start prophesying to you. She starts saying there's an attack from home. That when she was praying the other day, she just saw that there's an arrow. There's an arrow. And I said, from where is this arrow coming from? He said, it's the arrow from the kitchen. She said, when I prayed for that, I was just agonizing in the spirit. And I saw it. And the Lord just said, tell him to be careful. That's a dangerous prophet. If you want to hear my counsel, cast her out. Stand up immediately. Send for your wife and tell the madam, say, sister, stop the prayer. Stop that prayer you are praying. This is the bone of my bones. This is the one that God has ordained to help me up. I thank you for your prayer. But her prayer. Did you hear what my wife said this evening? Did you hear her? Eh? She said many people are praying for Brother Billy. But there is none of all those prayers that is so specialized, so adapted, so peculiar as what she does for me. I had to learn that from God. I had to understand that though I may have millions of prayer supporters, they don't equal what she kneels down to cry to God on my behalf. May the Lord help you to understand what I'm talking about. The right response of a husband to set his house in order, to set his marriage on course. Now, he said, this is. Take note that the word this is not these. Did you hear me? What does the word this signify? Singular. Singular. Not two, not three, not four. One. With whom God has tied my destiny. One in whom all the help that God has packaged for me to be complete had been put. It takes a personal understanding to focus. This is. Many husbands have not yet focused on their wives. Their eyes are still up and down. And you know when I say your eyes are up and down, I'm not saying you are looking for women, no. I'm not saying that you are flirting about. That's not what I'm talking about. Some are like that, but I'm not talking about flirting men. I'm talking about men whose eyes are not yet focused on what God has put in their home for them. They are busy running helter and skelter, looking for what others can do for them. If the wife wants to say something, say, keep quiet. What do you know? This is, and I said that is a language of singularity and single focus. For your marriage to release its full potential, you must focus on this woman that God has given you. You must focus on her life. You must focus on her growth. You must focus on her release. You must focus on her development. If she's going to be nourishable tomorrow, you must focus on nourishing her. If you don't nourish this, you may get nothing out of it tomorrow. And yet it is not because she does not carry potential, but it's a potential damage, it's a potential wasted, it's a potential blocked. This is when you have come to know the implication of this is the bone of my bones, the flesh of my flesh. When that has become clear to you, you will settle down. Husband, do you plan to be great? Settle down with this woman. Settle down. Do you want something that is glorious in the coming days? Settle down. Don't take your marriage lightly anymore. Don't think, I see where I married her, let me just go around. No. This is. When Adam came to that, he came to a place of focus. What I'm struggling with to say to you tonight is that many of you married for 20 years, but you've never focused on the development of your wife. You have not focused on what she could become in order to help you. Maybe this is why you have not focused prayers on her. This is why you have not focused affection. You have not focused everything that you can input to make her who she should be. When the Holy Ghost, I sat in my office, Sister Nka Road. You know when Sister Nka Road, that should be 1988 or something. And I sat in the office. I have been working since morning till about 7 p.m. And the Holy Ghost asked me a question. Where is your wife? You know, in my head, I just simply asked her, she's in the hospital. She's working. I think she's on call. The Holy Spirit said, I'm not asking you where she is in the hospital. I'm asking you, where is your wife in the scheme of what I've called you to do? I couldn't stand up from that office again. I sat there, I said, God, what are you talking about? God said, look, that this woman is the one I have sent into your life to make you enter into everything I'm talking to you about. Where is she? Ah. It was then God began to ask me. This Bible study outline you have been preparing, where is she in his preparation? It was then it dawned on me that how would God give me a help, and I've neglected it. And I've ignored it. And I wasn't passionate about it. When I rose from that office that day, I rushed to the house. The first question I say, where are you? She asked me, say, what's happening? You know, I'm always at home now. Where I said, no, no, no. I said, that's not it. I'm asking for your location. That day, I remember, I began to tell her. I said, look, this hospital work we are doing here, this is not the reason why God brought you into my life. She said, I know. She said, but you know, since you are busy and you will not involve me, so I just said, let me also take care of home affairs on your behalf. I said, no, it will not be like that again. Then the Lord said, if you train her in the things that I've called you to do, she will help you better tomorrow. Focus. I cannot thank God enough for that evening when God began to show me that if you will not be particular, if you will not focus, you will never get the best of what I've put in her for you. But I thank God today. I thank God for the capacity that the Holy Spirit is releasing to me through her. It's difficult to explain. But you see, it is your response that will bring it out. I pray that the Holy Ghost will give you a clear picture of what I'm saying tonight. I don't know when you will keep having time to quarrel and to keep malice for 1 week or for 2 days or for 1 month. If you know that inside her is locked up very valuable things that you cannot do without. This is the bone of my bones. Now when she now began to speak, I now see not only a conviction. It was now coming out of a conviction. This is the bone of my bones. You see, the language he used, thank God that we are doing becoming one flesh in the Bible study, and that has helped me. I don't need to go over that again. I know in the Bible study, you will have noted the matter of becoming one flesh, that the man came with an understanding. This is not someone from somewhere. This is the bone